then. I've got my cup and some cotton wool in my cup and my little pot of mustard seed. All I need to do now... Oh dear. What's happened? I've got to go and pick them up now. Ooh, these wretched seeds. Said there'd be no good with them.
Jess? Well, she said she would be here. She said she had a surprise for me. Something to show me. I wonder what it was.
Where are you?
What? I'm here!
Well, you are a pain.
Am I?
I'm sure you're doing it deliberately.
I'm not doing anything.
Come on now, come to Mummy.
Mummy? Oh, yeah, I know all about mummies, yeah. We did them in school when we did the ancient Egyptians. Yeah, and mummies, right, they are covered in bandages and they live in a big box called a and they live in a big box!
Oh, hello, Declan. When did you get here?
Well, you should know. You've been talking to me for the last few minutes.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, yes, you have.
No, I haven't, silly. Now, I was talking to my seeds. My mustard seeds, and I've spilt them all on the floor.
Jess?
Yes?
Do you often talk to your seeds?
Well, you know how some people talk to plants?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to start early.
Oh! So that any problems can be... nipped in the bud! The bud!
Oh, ha, Declan.
Anyway, you're wasting your time looking for those tiny seeds.
Why?
Weren't you listening to Ellen a minute ago?
Of course I was. I'm a level 5 listener.
Those seeds are the tiniest seeds that grow into a tree.
Mustard seeds don't grow into trees. They grow into little plants like cress, and you put them on your egg sandwiches.
Right, well, that's what lots of people think.
Yes.
But actually, if you leave them to grow, they grow into a tree, a really big tree. It's just like Primark.
Primark?
Yeah, Primark. There's branches everywhere.
What's that?
That?
Oh. Yeah, that bird there.
Well, that's Russell.
Oh, you mean Russell?
Yeah, Russell. It's Russell.
Really?
Yeah, really. It's Russell Raven.
Oh, I thought he was Russell.
Yes, lots of people do. And I think quite a few of them are in the congregation.
Nevermore.
Well, why is he here then?
Well, he's probably come to help you look for your seeds.
Eat them more like? Well, he's not having any of them. Shoo, shoo, go away, you horrible bird.
Nevermore.
Jess, would you like me to help you look for your seeds?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
Well, on whether you do a good look or a man look.
Well, I would probably do a boy look, but I will try my best.
Okay, well, I dropped them sort of down here.
You should have been more careful.
Declan, can I ask you something?
Oh, Jess, of course I love you.
Oh, you tease. No, I wanted to know what the reading was all about. I understood a bit of it, but not all of it.
Well, it was like this, you see. When Jesus first started out, there was just like him and a few of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to tell people the good news about Jesus and God and everything, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so they started to tell people. And bit by bit, the news spread. More and more people came to believe, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the news spread and spread until there was loads of people who believed. And that good news was like a tiny mustard seed planted in their hearts.
So it started small, like my mustard seed.
Yeah.
But then it grew and it spread everywhere.
Yeah, to the four corners of the civilized world. And Thornaby!
I bet the people listening were really excited about the news which spread far and wide.
To Thornaby.
Yes.
Well, no, not all of them. No, they weren't.
What do you mean?
Well, some people, right, they didn't like the way that Jesus was stirring up trouble.
Oh.
They preferred things the way they were. They didn't like him changing stuff. They preferred the status quo.
Heavenly Father, as we come to think about the stories that your son Jesus told, help us to understand more of how those stories teach us about our own life story. Help us to learn more about what it is to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus loved to tell stories. And when he started to speak, everyone listened. It was as if they were gathered around the campfire while Jesus painted pictures with words, conjuring up amazing scenes and stories that drew everybody in. People just couldn't keep away from listening to those stories. And a lot of his stories were known as parables, a special kind of story. Now that word parable comes from the same root as parabola. This here is a parabola. I had to look that up on the internet because I've forgotten all the maths I learnt at school. So a parabola is that curved line. And sometimes Jesus' stories can seem a bit like that line. You might find yourself thinking, well, why doesn't he just get straight to the point? Tell us exactly what he means. But for Jesus, stories don't work like that. The stories curve around the point, drawing us as the audience in, helping us to think much more deeply about what he's saying to us, encouraging us to move from the head to the heart and to really receive those stories on a deeper level. So today we heard the story of the mustard seed. And Jesus told us about how tiny this seed is. And I don't know about you, but if you like spicy cooking, you might well have some mustard seeds in your kitchen. And you'll know exactly how tiny they are. So we're told that the kingdom of heaven is like that mustard seed. Small, but with a fiery punch when you come to use it in cooking. And if you leave it, as Jess, the puppet, was telling us, if you leave it and don't cut it off and put it in your egg sandwiches, then it will start to grow from being a tiny little shoot into an enormous tree. And once that tree has grown, then the birds will come and nest in its branches. And we should have a picture of that. There we are. So it's a strange metaphor because the mustard tree, although it grows very big, it's not an elegant kind of tree. It's not a very dignified kind of tree. It's not like an oak or a cedar. It's a bit of a garden bush, a little bit scrappy and messy. But nonetheless, within its branches, all of those birds can find a place to rest. So we know that Jesus is trying to tell us something about growth, about what it means to grow and to become something far, far bigger than what we are right now. And it's interesting that he chose that mustard seed image and the mustard tree or mustard bush, because if we look back at the Old Testament, we'll find that sometimes the image is used of the cedar. For example, in Ezekiel 17, we hear that God will take the top of a cedar and plant it, breaking off the tender sprig and planting it on a high and lofty mountain. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it and find shelter in the shade of its branches. So a wonderful image of an enormous, dignified cedar tree. But yet here we've got the image of the mustard tree, something much more humble, much more messy, but somehow very important to help us understand what God's kingdom is all about. And that image of the birds coming in is Jesus telling everyone who's listening to him that this new kingdom of God isn't just going to be for the Jewish people who've grown up hearing the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the adventures that happened in the Old Testament. Jesus is telling them, no, this new kingdom that I'm bringing in, this is going to be for every kind of person, for every kind of bird. All those different birds symbolize the different peoples of the world, and all of them are going to find a place to rest together in the shelter of that tree. And Jesus uses another image as well. He talks about the woman making bread in her kitchen. So she would have had yeast like this, a starter yeast, and she takes 30 kilograms of flour. So she's not just cooking for her family. This is like a whole bakery business she's got running. And she kneads that yeast right in to the 30 kilograms of flour. It works its way through. And in the end, it produces a beautiful batch of bread. After many hours of hard work, and after the patience as well, to let it rise. So what can we learn from these stories? From the story about the seed that grows into the enormous bush, the story of the yeast that gets right through the flour and forms it into bread. Well, one of the things that it's teaching us is about patience. God's kingdom will not spring up just like that in an instant. So although we might plant those little seeds on our cotton wool and then want to cut the shoots and put them on a sandwich only a few days later, here Jesus is letting people know that if you wait, if you give it weeks, if you give it months, then you'll see the fullness of the kingdom coming into being. And the same with the bread. Anyone who's made bread will know that you need to give it that time, time to rise, time to prove, in order for it to be successful. But I think another thing that Jesus is telling us is that when we think about the kingdom of heaven, it might seem like it's something very distant and very big that we can't possibly aspire to, but that we shouldn't be afraid of small and humble beginnings. Just because something starts looking very small and very insignificant doesn't mean that it won't make a huge difference. That yeast is yeast which transforms. That mustard seed is something which becomes an enormous plant. And sometimes maybe we feel that we're quite small, and we're not very important, that maybe that we don't have many gifts, or that the gifts that we've got don't matter. But Jesus is telling us that that's not the case. Each one of us has an important part to play in the kingdom of God. After all, the Jewish faith began with just one man, with Abraham, the one man called by God, whose descendants became as many as the stars in the sky. So from one small beginning, a great nation was born. But I think these stories are also telling us about something about how we grow and learn. We've got many of the children from the different organisations with us today. And you might all feel that at the moment, you're quite small. But we all know that given the right conditions, just like this little plant, you're going to grow from being small to being much, much bigger and to playing an important part in the role in the world. So for this little seed to develop, we need the right conditions. We need the sunshine of God's love. We need just the right amount of water for it to grow and blossom. And for us too, if we want to grow and develop into the people that God's calling us to be, then we need to know God's love. We need to be rooted in God's word. And we need to share the knowledge and love of God with others. And to learn those things, I think what we really need is community. I don't know if any of you have been to see the Batman movie. And if you have, then you may have noticed that Batman is very much a Lone Ranger. He's an isolated figure, but he always wants to win all the battles alone. And Batman only realizes the mistakes that he's been making and the people that he's hurt when he gets sent up into the Phantom Zone. Up in the Phantom Zone, he meets a glowing Lego brick who tells him all about every mistake that he's ever made in his life. And suddenly he realizes that actually, all the time that he's been rushing around being a superhero, he has been messing up. He's not got all the answers, and he can't do it all by himself. So when he goes back down to Gotham City, he teams up with Barbara, the police chief, and his adopted son Robin, and his father figure Alfred, and together they form an unbeatable team. And I think Batman's got a message for all of us, because it's quite common nowadays as well that people tend to think that we can do things by ourselves. But in fact, none of us were made to be alone. We need one another to grow in the to grow into the people that God is calling us to be. Communities remind us of the good things and the gifts and the strengths that we have, and they also show up our flaws and the mistakes that we make. But it's really when we live together in community and work together that we learn how those small seeds of faith will grow into the mustard bush, which supports many different birds. And one way of thinking about this is to think about the cross, because when we look at the cross, we've got the vertical line of God's love coming down to meet us in his son Jesus. And we've got the horizontal line of all of us forming together into a community where we learn and share and grow, even though sometimes that growing can be difficult. So we could, as we think about that this morning, let's remember that it's through the power of the cross that we are transformed and that we grow into the fullness of life in Jesus. Amen.